去。
没有，你选
哎，你
选
看，
这个，你怎么选这个旁
不是
边？
已经在 PowerPoint 了吗？
已经在旁边选。
Good morning, everybody. 要拿吗？要拿，不要拿可以吗？Before we start, let us pay homage to the Buddha first by reciting Namo Tassa three times. Namo Tassa Bhagavato.Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Last week, I have talked about Vichi, the cognitive process. Can you hear from behind?
你要坐下来。
Cannot, 没关系。
啊，不坐下来，你就趴在手上面。坐下来。
Okay. Last week, we have talked about cognitive process according to five doors and the mind door.And let me repeat a little bit. According to five door, eye door, ear door, nose door, tongue door, and body door. There are 17 mind moment. Number one is past bhavanga. Number two is vibrating bhavanga. Number three, arresting. Number four, five door, averting consciousness.And number fifth, eye consciousness, if it is eye door. If it is body door, then eye replace, E replace with B, body consciousness. And receiving consciousness, investigating consciousness, determining consciousness, and seven javana. Javana means running swiftly over the objects in order to comprehend or apprehend the object clearly. And the karma, skillful and unskillful karma are performed during javanas moment. And after seven javanas, there are two registering consciousness. So all are 17 mind momentAfter 17 mind moment, the eye door cognitive process come to cessation. Why is it so? Because the object, the visible object, we call rupa, matter. The lifespan of matter lasts for 17 mind moment. Since the lifespan of the matter, visible object, has ceased, therefore eye cognitive process come to cessation. However, in order to apprehend clearly what is the form, what is the color, what is the name of this visible object, we have several mind cognitive process. We have several mind door cognitive processThe first one is the first mind door cognitive process take, just a revision, take what object? Can you answer me? Those who have attended last week talk. Past object. Because the present visible object has come to cessation. And the mind door has to reflect.The past object. So the first mind door cognitive process takes past object as is object. And the second mind door grasping the whole, grasping the whole object. And the third mind door takes the shape, the form of that object. And the following mind door takes name, concept. Without knowing the name, you do not know what is that. So you must know the name. It's called lotus, it's called table, it's called tree, and so on. So the name object appear in the mind. Now the object become clear in your mind after several mind door cognitive process. Then our reaction arises. We react to the object because now object become clear. So the first reaction, you feel pleasant or unpleasant towards that object. And if you feel pleasant and you are not able to aware of your pleasant feeling, then the craving will arise after the pleasant feeling. And if you are unaware of unpleasant feeling, then the aversion towards that, the aversion, the latent tendency of aversion will follow after unpleasant feeling. And both craving or aversions are called mano karma, mental karma. And the most, for most people, the mental karma, the mental karmas that do not stop at the mental level. Because of the force of the refinements, then the body will act according to the power of the mind. Refinement is very powerful. When the refinements arise in the mind, the body become very agitated. The body become very restless. You have to follow that refinement. If not, you feel that you cannot survive. Therefore, when the mental refinements arise in the mind and yet you have no mastery of the mind, you cannot contemplate them until they pass away, then the body will act according to mind, according to your mental refinements. Therefore, the actions are performed. Whether it's skillful actions or unskillful actions are performed during the jhavana moment. So we have to ask Guo Qing, what is the password? Venerable Guo Qing, we must know the password in order to start the computer again. Here, you should understand the nature of the consciousness is arising and passing away, arising and passing away at every moment. And each consciousness is different, not the same, even for two consecutive moments. So, we usually identify consciousness as I. If you understand the working of consciousness, which is arising and passing away at every moment, which moment can you call permanent I? Which moment can you call permanent self? We identify consciousness as self or I because we are unable to break down the compactness of continuity. The consciousness arises one after another in a series continuously. Unable to break down the compactness of this continuity, we grasp it as a whole, as a unity. Upgrade 还是什么？ See again this idle cognitive process. We have 17 moments. They arise one after another. Not each moment, each mind moment is different consciousness. And after this idle, we have my door. As you see, the consciousness is an ongoing process, one after another. This is called compactness of continuity. And we identify this consciousness as self because we cannot break down the compactness of continuity. We cannot see consciousness arise one after another. Therefore, we grasp it as compactness of unity. We grasp the whole one after another as unity, as one. And this one is called self. Okay, then, as we know, each consciousness has the characteristic of awareness of an object. Each mind or mental factors has its own characteristic. So the awareness, the characteristic of consciousness is just to aware. Aware of what? Aware of arising object. And just in order to apprehend clearly the arising object, one consciousness follow one after another, one after another, must operate one after another in order to see clearly the object. So the relationship of object and the consciousness is very apparent here. Object, let's say visible object, is the object to be apprehended. And consciousness has the ability to apprehend the object. And this process keep on going without stop. No consciousness can arise without taking an object. This is reality of life. What is life? Life is constantly aware of an object. This is called life. And this constantly aware of an object is neither a self, or he or she, or Lord or God. It's the nature of consciousness to be aware of the object continuously, and the objects are being apprehended by consciousness continuously, and the life goes on uninterruptedly from the birth until the death, and from the death until the next life. There's no end to it unless you attain final cessation, we call parinibbana. Then the consciousness stop forever. When there's no consciousness, of course, no object will be apprehended. And the arising of the consciousness arise one after another, as you see, one after another. And it arises and pass at every moment at tremendous speed. In Abhidhamma, in a snap of finger, millions or trillions of consciousness arise and pass away. You can imagine, trillions of consciousness arise and pass away. So consciousness arise and pass away at every moment at tremendous speed, like a swift current. And to hold on to this swift current, you imagine you are swept away by the swift current. To hold on to swift current is impossible. And this swift current gives you a sense of insecurity. Because consciousness arises and passes away in such a tremendous speed. So you feel very insecure. You want to hold on to something which is solid, which is stable, which is unchanging, so that the ego has something to rely on. However, the reality is not like that. The reality of life is keep on moving, keep on changing, one after another, endlessly. This again, the wish of our heart. This against our view. This against our desire. Because we desire for something which is permanent. We desire for something which is stable, which is secure, so that the ego can hold on to it. Therefore, in order to find a security, we delusively identify this changing process, ongoing changing process, as a permanent self, so that our ego has something to hold on to. If not, most people cannot survive. They cannot live without the ego. So I would like to say, the reality and what you imagine is not the same. Therefore, in Buddha's teaching, we have one very famous versus see things as they really are. See phenomena as they really are, not the way you want them to be. So what are the things as they really are? Ongoing changing process. This is the things as they really are. But what we want to be is, what we want them to be is an unity, unchanging, permanent, solidity, so that the ego can hold on to it. So what we want them, what we want the phenomena to be is very different from what the reality is. Okay, now we come to cause and condition for the arising of the consciousness. What is the condition for the arising of consciousness? Let's say now, visible object. Visible object has arisen, then the idle cognitive process arises in order to apprehend the visible object. So what is the cause for the arising of consciousness? Number one, you must have object. In this case, it's visible object, color. So because of arising of color, then eye consciousness arises. So the arising of eye consciousness is conditional. It's conditional. And what is conditional cannot be said there is permanent self. Self, what is the meaning of self? The meaning of self is something you can control. But the arising of eye consciousness is beyond your control. Therefore, this consciousness, whatever consciousness, whether eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, are conditionally arisen, dependently arisen. And please bear in mind, what is dependently arisen is not a permanent self. Okay, what are the second factor for arising of consciousness? There's an eye consciousness, attention. If let's say there's visible object and there is eye sensitivity, but you do not pay attention, then you cannot see, right? Let's say now I stand in front of you, you hate to see me, so you close your eye, you don't pay attention to me, therefore you cannot see. So attention is also another factor for the arising of consciousness. Number third factor is light. It now is at night time, and we do not on the light, then no one can see because of darkness. So the light is also another factor for the arising of consciousness. And the next factor is the cessation of previous consciousness. In this case, what is the previous consciousness of eye consciousness? E, five door averting consciousness. F stands for five door averting consciousness. With the cessation of five door averting consciousness, only then eye consciousness can arise. For example, when Bush did not step down, then Obama cannot become president, right? So with the cessation of previous consciousness, then the succeeding consciousness can arise. This is also one of the factors for the arising of consciousness. And another factor is the base. For the eye, five sense consciousness, eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue and body, we must have the base. For example, eye sensitivity must be intact. Ear sensitivity, nose sensitivity, body sensitivity. These are called base, the base for consciousness, for respective consciousness to arise. So without a base, let's say a blind person, a blind one cannot see because he has no eye sensitivity. So as a conclusion, the arising of consciousness depends on various factors. So the arising of consciousness are dependent, not independent. And what is dependent cannot be said as a permanent self. Therefore, consciousness is not self. And why we wrongly grasp consciousness as self, I have mentioned to you many reasons already. Another reason why we grasp consciousness as self, because we cannot break down the completeness of function. Each consciousness and mental factors has its own functions to perform. Let's say, what's the function of consciousness? Knowing an object. And what's the function of feeling? Being felt, feeling, feel the pleasant and unpleasant aspect of the object. So each mental factors and consciousness has its function to perform. However, we are unable to understand their functions. We see them as a mess, components of mess, all mixed together. When you taste something, consciousness aware of the taste, feeling, feel the pleasant aspect of the taste. Then the greed grabs the sweet taste. So each mental factors and consciousness perform its own function, but we are unable to see each mental factor and each consciousness has its own function to perform. Then we take it as a whole, as a mess, and we say, I am eating. So the perception of self is established because we are unable to break down the completeness of functions. And you may ask, if there's no self, how can we remember? How can we remember? Because perception, in our mental stream, there's one mental factor called perception. Perception is able to store all the memory in our mental stream. So that when you see something which you have seen before, you can recognize. You can recognize it because you have kept in your memory. You have stored in your memory. So that when you see a visible object, you can recognize because the perception connect the past experience to the present experience. And all this experience are unified to become one. So you think as one, as a person, as an I, see the same thing again and again. Okay, let us repeat little bit the my door. After five door, we come to my door. My door is different from five door because my door do not take pleasant object. So the what my moment constitute my door cognitive process. Number one is vibrating consciousness. Number two, arresting consciousness. Number three, mind door, averting consciousness, and seven jhavanas, and the two registering consciousness. And this mind door come to cessation, and the mind fall into bhavanga. How long it fall into bhavanga depend on the alertness of your mind. If your mind is more alert, falling into bhavanga is shorter. If your mind is dull, then falling into bhavanga will be longer. As we said, the jhavana consciousness involves wholesome and unwholesome karma. In the five thought cognitive process, wholesome and unwholesome karma are also performed, although the visible object is not so clear. But after several mind thought cognitive process, when the visible object becomes clearer, the karma performed is stronger. The wholesome and unwholesome karma are performed and strengthened at the jhavana of mind door cognitive process, because now everything is transparent, and the like and dislike, your reaction of like and dislike, craving and aversion become stronger. Therefore, karma also becomes stronger. Okay, what are the unwholesome karma performed in sense sphere jhavana? It can be through body door, speech, and mind. If through body door, usually mind will arise first. Let's say craving. Craving will arise, or ill will arise, or wrong view, or covetousness. All these are called mind karma, mental karma. And unable to control the mental karma, unable to put to an end of mental karma, one perform speech, verbally karma. Verbally karma, there are four: telling lies, slandering, harsh speech, and frivolous talk. And unable to stop the verbal karma at the verbal karma only, one further perform bodily karma. So there are three. Number one, three bodily karma. Number one is called killing. Number two, taking what is not given. Number three, sexual misconduct. So all these 10 unskillful karma are performed at the jhavana state. And as you understand cause and effect, every action produces its reaction. So whatever karma you perform, whether mentally, verbally, or physically, leave behind karmic energy. And this karmic energy is stored up, waiting for the chances to ripen. Okay, then the wholesome karma performed in sense sphere jhavana. Before this, we talk about unwholesome karma, and there are also another 10 wholesome karma performed in sense sphere jhavana. That is abstaining from killing, abstaining from taking what's not given, abstaining from sexual misconduct, abstaining from telling lies, slandering, harsh speech, frivolous talk, and abstaining or changing the mind from covetousness to generosity. Changing the ill will mind or aversion to loving kindness, and changing the wrong view to right view. Then it will become wholesome karma. And wholesome karma leave behind wholesome energy. Then you will reap the good result when this wholesome karma ripen. Okay, another 10 wholesome karma are performed in sense sphere jhavana, like giving, dana, sila, virtues, meditation, bhavana, reverence, respect, to those who are worthy of respect. Then service, sharing of merit, rejoicing in others' merit. How can you rejoice in others' merit? When you see other people perform some good deed, you just say sadhu, Theravada say sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Just three sadhu, you accumulate abundant of merit. No? Okay. Then the hearing the Dharma, because hearing the Dharma shape your right view. Right view is the forerunner of all wholesome state. How to have the right view? That's listening to the Dharma. Without listening to the Dharma, you don't even know this is wrong, this is right. So hearing the Dharma is essential and very important in the teaching of the Buddha. The next one, teaching the Dharma. And number 10, strengthening out one's view. Okay, now we come to the result of each karma performed. As I say, each karma leaves behind karmic energy. So there are seven javana, and the first javana generates immediately effective karma, which can only produce its effect in this very life. And if this karma does not produce its effect in this very life, it becomes defunct karma. I will give you an example. There are many examples in Buddha's teaching that karma performs its effect on this very life. Some of the story is very, unbelievable. Okay, I give an example. In the Buddha's time, one day there was an arahant going for alms round. And there's one rich man, a married rich man. He encountered this arahant on the way, on his way back. And he was very impressed by the beauty and the handsome of this arahant. Of course, he did not know he is arahant. Then an evil thought arise in his mind. He said, how nice if this man can become my wife. And the moment this evil thought, from here you can see, mind is very wide. Mind think is not rational at all. It's very difficult to control the mind unless your mindfulness is so sharp. If not, the mind delights in evil. So this man said that, how nice if he can become my wife. The moment this evil thought arise in his mind, his sex organ change to the female one. You may think, how can it be? But don't forget, the person he offended is arahant, not ordinary person. If ordinary person, no, his sex organ will not be changed. But now, the person he offended is arahant. Of course, he didn't know he's arahant. If not, he will not have this such evil thought, right? So his sex organ changed to the female one. And he feels so shameful. Feels so shameful he dare not to go back his home. How to go back to face his wife? He already become female. So he moved to another village alone. He didn't go back home. And he went to another village. And gradually, she now becomes she. She get married to another man. And after and give birth to a son and daughter. And after a few years, she met one of his old friends from his old town, old village. Of course, she recognized him, and his friend cannot recognize her. So she told her friend what was happening in her. And her friend told her, why not you go and ask forgiveness from this noble person? Maybe When you ask for forgiveness, then things will change. Then she agreed. Then finally she found that Arahant, and in his presence, she asked forgiveness about her evil thought. The moment she finished asking forgiveness, her female organ changed back to the male organ again. And this time she now become he. He becomes so disgusted towards life, up and down of life. It's so much uncertainty, it's so misery. One thought change everything. One evil thought change everything, one good thought change everything. So he feel very disenchanted towards life. Therefore, he became monk. He ordained and became monk. And many people know his story, having been father and having been mother, both. So many his fellow monks always tease him. When you become father, when you become mother, you like your son most. You like your son most when you become when you were father or when you were mother. So finally, he was very upset being asked, being teased by his fellow monks again and again. And he feel very disgusted. He left all the fellow monks and went to the forest and strived very hard. And finally became Arahant. And those fellow monks did not know he has already become Arahant. Still teased him the same question. Then this time he answered, Neither I love them. I have no more attachment to them. What he wanted to say, I have no more attachment to them. Then the fellow monk start to understand he had become Arahant. So this called his karma was generated by immediately effective karma which produced its effect in this very life. You can see your own life. There are many we call current life effective karma. I mean, you perform karma in this very life and you reap the same result in this very life. Another example is during Buddha's time, there was a very poor man. This poor man, he has a wife, and both he and his wife share an outer robe. Whenever there's any ceremony, like Buddha give teaching or any Dhamma talk, only one of them can go and listen because they only have one outer robe. So this time, this poor man got a chance to wear the outer robe to go to listen to Buddha's Dhamma talk. And at that time, Buddha talked about generosity, giving, to abandon, you give in order to abandon your greed towards your own property and for the welfare of the recipient. So after listening to Buddha's inspiration, he feels so delighted. He also want to give. But he was so poor. There's nothing in him. What should he give? How can he give? Then he think of his outer robe. The only property he has is his outer robe. But when he think of offering to his outer robe, suddenly the stinginess, a thought of stinginess arise in him. He said, no, I'm not going to give away my outer robe. If I give away, next time I cannot come out to listen to Dhamma talk. No. Then he continued to listen to Buddha's talk again. Buddha emphasized again the benefit of generosity, the benefit of dana, giving. Then second thought arise, no, I must give, no matter how, I must give away my outer robe. But, you know, the deep, very deep inside, there's a stinginess still arise in him. Then he stopped. He didn't want to entertain the thought of giving away. Until the third time, when he listened again, he said that no, The third time he still resists to give his outer robe. But finally, he said that, no, I'm going to give away. And he quickly take off his robe and go forward, go in front and put his outer robe in front of Buddha's feet. And after that, he said, I win. Then among the audience, there was a king called King Kosala. King Kosala said that, heard about this, I win. He said that usually when I go for war, better, I shout, I win over my enemy. Now, among this audience, who said that word that I used to say? So he investigated and find out. It was that poor man. Then he interviewed him why he say I win. When the poor man told him that because for the first time I want to offer my robe, but the stinginess overcome my mind. I was overcome my generosity. And the second time, third time, until the fourth time, I overcome my stinginess. Therefore I say I win over my stinginess. Then this king Kosala was very inspired by him. Such a poor man, nothing to give. The only thing he has is his outer robe, and yet he can offer the robe. So he has done what is difficult to do. So the king was inspired by his giving, and he sent him four beautiful outer robe from his palace. This is called immediately effective karma. But when this poor man received the four outer robe, he offered all again to the Buddha, because he already overcome his refinements of stinginess. Therefore, these four outer robes from the palace is nothing to him. So he offered. And the king feels so inspired by his generosity and give him another gift, 16 this time. 16 outer robes. And the poor man offered again all. Then the king give him 32. Double, 32. Then this time the king told, okay, you keep two. You can offer all, but keep two. One for you, one for your wife. So that next time you can come out to listen to Dhamma talk. So the poor man keep two and offer the rest 32. So when this thing happened, many monks, you know, they do not believe. How can the karma generate immediately result? So they ask the Buddha. And Buddha told them, didn't you see with your eyes? Why you should ask me? You see with your eyes that the king offered him 32 outer robes. So this is called currently effective karma is generated by first jhāvana. Okay, and the 7th, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, 2nd through 6th jhāvana generate indefinitely effective karma, which can produce its effect at any time along the round of rebirth until one reaches parinibbana. This type of karma never expired. As long as you are still alive, you have to pay for your unskillful karma. But don't worry for that. You also will reap your skillful karma all the time. Don't only look at the bad one. Okay? So the generosity you perform for this poor man, he get 32 outer rope. But not only that, along his round of rebirth, his generosity, although performed only once, can continuously bear his result. And the last one, I will give more example during my next week talk. And the last one, 7th jhāvana generates subsequently effective karma, which can produce its result in the immediate future life. They say this person, this old Brahmin, old man, he next life he was born in heaven, and he was born in heaven is a result of the seven javana. Okay, so that's all for today. To next week, I will continue in more detail about this one, because this part is very important. Okay, thank you.